Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Interesting numbers from a couple of perspectives this morning, I thought. One, that needs some explaining. Where did USDA find all the extra wheat stocks?
Well, I think the extra came from both 09 and also probably not as big of an increase in exports that the trade was expecting, Dave, because they left the yield number alone. But I think the trade was looking for a little bit more in terms of an export number. And I was talking to some people up in Chicago earlier this week because I had one of the higher numbers. In fact, I think I had the highest number on the trade estimates. And one of the big reasons I have been a little bit sluggish in meeting USDA is because I do feel like that the corn market and the corn demand's going to strip some of the demand away from the wheat. And globally, that's exactly what USDA said. In fact, when they put the 3 million ton increase on the world wheat ending stocks, they specifically said wheat feeding is going to be lower 2 million tons because the EU27 is going to import coarse grains and partly replace wheat in their livestock and poultry rations. So I think that's probably my best explanation I can give you.
The other thing I suppose we ought to talk about is, in total, all the numbers that we saw this morning, export sales, USDA crop production, WASDE numbers, is it enough to upset the apple cart from the longs that are in the funds?
I think I'll put it to you this way, Dave. I think the corn has reached an upside objective, technically a swing objective of 478 today, and for us to be able to go above $5 in December corn on ideas that we're going to go below a 160 yield and we're going to have stocks-to-use ratios that we can't tolerate and we'll get a five handle again in the Dease corn price. I think in order for that to happen in the short term, we need the help of the wheat especially, and we need the help of the beans. And if the trade takes today's report at face value in the wheat and in the beans, I don't think corn can get much higher at this stage without those two helping. And I think the yield number for the beans really puzzled the trade, and I think the 3 million ton increase in world wheat ending stocks really came as a shock to the trade. But I think all in all, when you look at the technicals and you look at the fund length, I think the corn needs all the help it can get from the other two major pits. And if the report is taken at face value, it's going to be tough for it to move on higher than this 480 level, 479.5 level, in my opinion, in the short term.
Well, USDA only dropped ending stocks for corn by 96 million bushels, but it could have been a lot lower because they changed feed in residual by 100 million bushels, and that seems to me to be their fudge factor right now.
I think that's exactly right. You're getting some number movement around by USDA because guess what? Even with increasing exports 50 but taking feed in residual down 100, you're still at the tightest carryover in terms of stocks to use in the United States. Still at the tightest in 15 years. And when you look at the global stocks to use for coarse grains, you came in just under 15% this morning. 06 and 07, we were running at 13.8. So it's not going to take much to get us back to where we were in the 05, 06, 07 time period in terms of the corn market. But here again, it goes back to the wheat and the corn kind of now slugging it out. They used to be each other's friends when it came to on the way up here in the last 6 months. Now they're going to start competing with one another pretty aggressively, and you're going to rob Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, in the demand. So USDA's probably a little bit right, but I agree with you. I think they're just trading numbers back and forth to fit their numbers to the point where they don't shock the market too much. But, I would go back to the beans. If you don't break the beans with this kind of a yield number, they took Illinois up two bushels to a record 51 bushels this morning. I think that was just a major, major surprise to the trade. And if you don't have the beans break at this point in time on what looks to be decent yields, pretty heavy supplies coming in with harvest, and a slowdown in China buying, you throw the report on top of this, if you don't break the beans here, the beans are probably not going to break that much at all. So that's kind of where I'm looking at it. Beans the leader to the downside. Wheat would be a close second with the report today, but the corn's going to fight it all the way, it seems.
It seems to me this should be well supported, though, because still in our hip pocket is the October report with the potential for changes in acreage, and a big argument can be made in the beans that they're going to have to change harvested acres by a lot.
Yeah, and I think the other thing goes back to is the grain stocks report. You know, you'll also have the grain stocks report at the end of September. What kind of surprises will those hold in terms of this the demand pace that we've been keeping up? So I think those are two very valid points. I think points, and it just goes back to will the funds continue to stay long here? We're very overbought, and we're very long in the fund community. I've been trying to keep time out and put on a timeline the funds would stay with this market, and the ag sector would continue to be the kind of the darling of the investment community as long as the risk-taking and the emerging market stayed strong at least until the end of the month, because that's the end of the quarter as well. So this report kind of maybe puts a little bit of a hang-up on it. Where's the answer lie, Dave? I think the answer lies back in wheat. Wheat just got done testing support. December wheat has a very strong trend line of support at around that 710 level. If December wheat doesn't break that 710 level, I think the downside is going to be limited in the corn especially, and dips will continue to be bought through the end of the month or into the end of the month by the funds. But if the wheat does buckle, I think that's really where you got to start wondering whether we're not going to get an 8 or 10 or 12% correction across the board with some of these commodity trading funds who are quant and you know, momentum biased and very, very technically oriented. They start to let go a little bit earlier than the end of the quarter, maybe.
Yeah, you also talked about in your letter that Goldman Sachs sub-index as well as the Dow Jones UBS grain index need to be watched today.
Beautiful chart supports being tested, you know, just a week and a half ago, and both of them have a beautiful trend line. And between that and the way the yen has been running in the same type of price action as the corn, you've got some really nice indicators technically that I think the funds would react to if those technical indicators were taken out. That's exactly right.
Anything else before we let you go?
Well, you know, the thing on the wheat, too, I'll stick with wheat for the closing comment here. The world stocks going up. I think the market bulls are going to need the weather. And so I look for more volatility, not less, in the wheat here, Dave, because I think it's going to become more of a weather market. And Russia, as of this week, only had about half of their wheat planting done compared to last year. And so I would not write the wheat off here. We could break technically, break that 710 and really have a serious correction. But I think the wheat's far from being over with in terms of the downside and it being a topping market here in the short term, maybe. But in the medium term, I think it's still got a long way to go.